I've looked forward to being here. It's really not a great, real exciting, and I say that, y'all, I don't want to say the Word of God is not exciting, but it's really not an exciting topic, but it is the Word of God, and you pray for us tonight and pray God would help us. And man, we're out of chapter number 8 in the Spirit-filled life and the suffering of the child of God, and that sufferings are sovereign. And then as we look in chapter number 9, as I was studying it, I noticed this, if you're taking notes about the book of Romans, the selection is sovereign. And God's selection is sovereign. Now, we're not Calvinists by no stretch, form, or imagination tonight. And then we don't believe in that damnable doctrine. But the fact of the matter is, we do believe in the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, amen. He don't owe us no answers, amen. He's done give us all that we ever. He's done give us more than we deserve. But God is sovereign. God is all knowing. He's all powerful. And just because what God knows and who God is does not challenge the mercy and grace of God in our lives. I don't understand God. And I understand that, and I don't expect you to understand everything about God. I don't understand why He would send His only begotten Son to die for somebody like me. Now, I can understand why He'd die for somebody, some of y'all, but I have no earthly idea why He'd die for somebody like me. And man, when you try to figure out God and you try to put God in your box, that's when you start messing up, and that's when you start getting out of the Word of God, and you begin to trust, look at God through your mind and not the Word of God, and not trusting God by faith. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's by it, the Bible says, that we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And so understand, if you don't study your Bible by faith, believing that what God said is true, and what God, the Word of God is true, and understand 2 + 2 don't equals 4 with God. 2 + 2 with God equals 8. I mean, it's exceeding and abundantly above all that you could even ask or think. And you can't figure God out. And we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to see God's sovereign in His selection of the chosen line. And let's look tonight in verse number 6. And the Bible says, we're going to read down through verse number 14. The Bible said, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you, God, for your precious word. I pray that, God, that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, give us, God, the words to speak. Lord, I pray that my teaching and my speaking, Lord, would not be enticing words of man's wisdom, and God, in the demonstration of spirit and of power. God, I pray we, Lord, rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, give us wisdom and discernment tonight. God, give the congregation, Lord, the ears to hear and the heart to understand. God, as it goes out over the radio, Lord, in the preceding days, Father, I pray that you touch the hearts, Lord, of the listeners, God, and use this, Lord, tonight for your honor and your glory. And Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Verse number 6, we're going to pick back up there. We ended off with that last week, and we find rejection. We find the rejection. And it's not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Remember, what he's saying here is this, is that God's word, because they did not choose and accept to believe it, because they rejected it, it does not make the Word of God of none effect. And understand what he was talking about there. He's talking about the Israelites, that they had the promises of God, that they had the lineage of Christ, and they had all of these things. And he's talking about their need of a Savior and their need of salvation, and that just because they are of the loins of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it does not mean that they don't need a Savior. And because as we look at this tonight, what he's saying here is, he said, because they rejected the Word of God, just because there was some that has refused the Word of God, it does not change the validity or the effect of the Word of God. And understand, that's true today. Just because the world rejects this Bible, thank God for our Bible, and just because the world rejects it, and even some Christians have begun to reject it, it does not change the authority and the accountability and the accuracy that this Bible has. So we understand this. Just because some don't believe it, that doesn't change the effect of the Word of God. Amen. Now, we see the rejection, but let's look at the reality. The reality here, he begins to go in verse number 7, and he says, neither, because they are the seed of Abram, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You say, how do you see the reality? The reality of this verse is this, is that everyone that claims that they are of Jacob are not of Jacob, or of Isaac. Everyone that was born of Abraham, they're not going to be in heaven. Okay? Understand that. There were those that chose to reject the Word of God in the Old Testament. Remember, the children of Israel was the apple of God's eye. But we also see how that as we look down through this, that it was by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith in the promise of God. And just because that they were of the loins of Abraham, and understand this, and we're going to look at this, and we're going to show this tonight, just because they came from Abraham's loins does not mean that they are of the children of promise. Now, he says, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We've been discussing the sovereignty of God in the previous chapters, in the sufferings of the child of God in chapter number 8. But here we see these verses declares God's sovereignty. That means that He's all-knowing and all-power, and that He's sovereign. He don't have to answer to nobody, okay? And God's selection. Now understand, He's writing this because there were Jews, even in Jesus' day, that claimed Abraham as their father, and they even approached Christ saying that. Now, Matthew chapter number 3, if you want to turn in your Bible, Matthew chapter number 3, the first book there of the New Testament. Matthew chapter number 3, if you have a Scofield Bible, page 997. If you come across John chapter number 8 in your flipping, put your finger there. Let's look at why he's referring to this tonight. Look in Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 9. John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness. And verse number 8, he says, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now go to John chapter number 8, verse 38 and 39. John chapter number 8, verse 38, the Bible says, look what Jesus said. I know that ye are Abram's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. There's the rejection, okay? Even in Jesus' day, they were rejecting the Word of God. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. He said, if you was really Abraham's children, then you'd be walking by faith the way Abraham did. He said, so Paul was reiterating what Christ was saying there. And look, go back to Romans chapter number 9. But understand this, just because they were born of the flesh of Abraham and the promised line does not mean that they are the children of promise. To be a child of the promise is to be a child that lives by faith in the promise. Remember, Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said that through faith, Sarah conceived. It was through faith that Sarah conceived. Go to Galatians. I don't know where I told you to turn, but go to Galatians chapter number 4. Look at Galatians chapter number 4. Ephesians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. Looking at Galatians chapter number 4. And he goes on to explain it in more detail. Here, the Apostle Paul was talking not just about the Jews, but he was also referring to this line, because we'll tie all this in just a moment. Look in Galatians chapter 4, verse 22. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondmaid was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, which one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth the bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and actual to Jerusalem, which now is, it is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now, understand this. What he's saying, we remember that Sarah in chapter 12, they went to Egypt. Chapter 13, he rescued Lot. Chapter 14, let's see, I believe it was chapter 14, maybe it was chapter 16. Sarah said, remember they brought Hagar out of Egypt in chapter number 12. And Sarah said, it may be that the Lord would have me to have a child through Hagar. It may be. All right? Remember, God had promised them that of a promise of the seed. But Sarah said, well, you know, God is not keeping his word, and it may be. And we know the story. We know that Abraham went into Hagar. Ishmael was born. And we understand that today, that that's where the Muslim nation came in. And we're still dealing with Abraham and Sarah's mess up, where Sarah said, let me handle the will of God. Let me help God out in his work. And that's when we go to trying to help God out and try to accomplish God's work through man. That's what we do. We mess it up. But understand this, there were two seeds there. There were two lines. And one was a bondwoman. That was the natural. That's in Genesis chapter number 16. And the free woman was the woman of promise. Remember, in Genesis 18, where Abraham was sitting in the plains of Mamre that day, and the three men came there and stood before Abraham at the tent door, and one of them was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, because it was the capital L-O-R-D, and there he told Abraham, he said, you're going to have a son. And Sarah laughed within herself, and she and the Lord said, well, why did Sarah laugh? She said, Lord, I'm old. Shall I have pleasure? Shall I pleasure him in his old age? He's old. But it was a problem, and God said, behold, about this time of life, okay? And God promised them Isaac, and we know that Isaac came forth from the loins of Abraham. So we see from Abraham's loin, there was two different lines. There was the promised line and the fleshly line. But we also see, and here's what he's saying, we're seeing here that in God's choice and God's selection, we see in verse number 9, go back to the Acts, Romans chapter number 9, go to verse number 9. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. That's what he's saying in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 10. And this is the preferred child. We have the promised seed and the preferred child. And look what he says. And not only this, he starts out in verse number 10. And stay right there just a moment. Let me back up. Remember, Isaac was the promised seed, even though Ishmael come out of the loins of Abraham. All right? Isaac was the promised seed. See, I have some Muslim friends, I guess you could say, that I have come across in my life. One that I met years ago, and I don't even know where he is, but about 25 years ago I met him. And they believe that Abraham was their father, just as the Jews claim that Abraham is their father. And he believed that they have a story about offering Ishmael a lot like the way of offering Isaac. Okay? So, the Jews knew there was already the Ishmaelites in that day that was claiming Abraham as the father. The Jews were claiming Abraham as the father. Okay? So, God, through Paul, goes on and says, and not only this. Okay? And not only this, he goes on to show the sovereignty of God in Rebekah. Look at what he said. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father. See, some would say the difference of Abraham's loin was the mother of the child. Okay, remember, Ishmael was born of Hagar, Isaac was born of Sarah. And some could say, well, it was the mother that made the difference in God's selection. Well, here he goes on to prove, and that's true, but it's not definite. So we see that God in His sovereignty, remember that, God in His sovereignty chooses Jacob before they're ever born. These two babies are in the womb at the exact same time, in the exact same womb, receiving the exact same nutrients from the mother, not knowing sin, not knowing unrighteousness, and God in His sovereignty, before they're ever born, God tells Rebecca that, and Isaac, that the elder is going to serve the younger. Now remember, in Jewish law, Jewish customs, this was before the law, but the custom was that the firstborn had all the rights and all the privileges. So he goes here and he's showing his sovereignty in his selection. And he says, look in. We know the story. If you want to turn to Genesis chapter 25, verse 23, if you want to look at that. If you have Scofield Bible, page 38. And the Lord said unto her, in verse 23, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. That's Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. Verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So we see that God had told them before the children was ever born that the elder was going to serve the younger. So we now understand this. He goes on to say, I've got that in the wrong place. Why did God do that? Well, that's what he explains in verse number 11. So we see in verse number 11, we see, look at what it says, "For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the" what? "Purpose of God according to election." It was God's purpose. It was God's choice. It was God's choosing. God decided that. Okay? Why? I don't know. It's God's purpose. Go back to that. Remember about the purpose of God, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Remember, we're all called according to His purpose, not our purpose. Sometimes, as I told a preacher this week, I said, sometimes, I'm just honest, I don't like the purpose of God. I love God, but sometimes I don't like His purpose. And if you like it when God puts you in the fire and puts you through the flame and puts you through the trial and through the storm, God bless you, because I like smooth sailing. Amen? But we see that just as sufferings in the life of a child of God is sovereign, we also see that God's selection is sovereign. I'm not talking about being Calvinist. God's never selected some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. It's whosoever will gospel. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish and have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can believe that in the whosoever will gospel and still believe in the sovereignty in God. Amen? Now look. It was for God's purpose that election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. Now, think about this just for a moment. See, some could say that because Abraham walked by faith, left Namar and the moon god and his fathers in the land of the Chaldeans, trusted God by faith, walked all those years, trusted God on the Mount of Moriah that day when he went to slay Isaac and God intervened and provided himself a lamb. We could say that because of Abraham's works, they were the chosen people. But here, this is before these children ever got out of the womb and there was no works involved. Is that not what he said? That election might stand, not of works, but of Him that calleth. So we see the reason. It's not according to reasoning, but it's according to His will. You can't reason with God. Yeah, I mean, you can't figure Him out. And you can't put Him in a box. You can trust God in His Word and how God's Word is revealed, God's character, God's righteousness, God's holiness, and God's working, but you can't reason with Him. You tell me why God would give His only begotten Son for somebody like you. Why would God even allow our nation that has our motto, "In God We Trust," why would He allow us to keep on going? Why did He not kill Adam and Eve in the garden and start over? Why didn't He let them all drown in the Red Sea if He knew they were going to reject Him at Kadesh Barnea? Why did He not leave them in Egypt? You can't reason with God. Well, why is God suffering? Why does God allow me to suffer? God's sovereign. It's His choice. Now, we make some foolish choices that we have to live with, that we'll reap what we sow. But understand, there's some things we deal with in life that it's God's choosing for us. And God's sovereign. We can't reason it. Why did God take... y'all do realize that Brother Lee Davis, the last revival Lee Davis preached was for us. Y'all remember? Y'all realize that? That was the last revival that man preached. Why did God take a man of that character and that conviction, that man that had such compassion upon people? Why did God take him at an early age? I mean, why you can't reason with God. and understand God's sovereign in His choices. And here is the choice. Look at what it says in verse number 13. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. He says, Jacob I love, but I hated Esau. That's what the Bible said. Well, I thought God didn't hate nobody. God don't hate the person. He hated the nation. Okay? He was talking about the nation. All right? Look at what he says in Malachi chapter number 1. Right before the book of Matthew. And if God chose to hate the person, understand this, God had every right to hate the person. Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. He said, I hate them. I hate them because of their actions. I hate them because of what they're doing. I hate them because of their lifestyle. I love Jacob, but I hated Esau. I hated Esau because, remember, he was born after the flesh. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. All right, if you want to try to reason something, why did God love a liar? What was Jacob's name? What did it mean? Supplanter or liar? Why did God love a liar? Because of his faith. And it was God's choosing. It was not by works. You say, I don't understand it. I don't either. I just accept it. Amen. And then we look at this ridiculous, go back to Romans chapter number 14, that this at this ridiculous accusation when you try to reason God's choices. A ridiculous accusation. Look in verse number 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? What a ridiculous accusation, he's saying. He says, what shall we say to this sovereign God that's making these selection and choices? Is there unrighteousness with God? You realize, if there is unrighteousness with God, then God cannot be holy. And the Bible said in Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God, ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter, in his letter there, wrote, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If there was unrighteousness with God, then God couldn't be holy. And if God couldn't be holy, then His word is a lie, and God's a liar. And our Bible tells us that God cannot lie. You can't reason with God. You begin to try to reason what God's trying to do and what God's doing, I promise you, you'll begin to accuse God of being unrighteous. You'll be accused God of being unjust. And it goes back to that verse over there that we came into in the last chapter. Let's see, where was it at? Let me find that verse there. Let's see. Verse 33 of chapter number 8. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? How are you going to bring an accusation against God's judgment and what God's doing? He says, you can't reason with God. He said, but I'm telling you, there's two different lines. There's a line of the flesh, and there's a line of the promise. And he told us in, I didn't read that in Galatians chapter 4, that we'll go here, go, and I'm closing. Go to Galatians chapter number 4. Let's read this verse. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians. All right, let's read verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she that hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are children of promise. What promise? That promise of Isaiah chapter number 7. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. That promised seed. Over there where on the Mount Moriah where God promised Abraham, and he says, you take Isaac up there. And he says, God provided that ram. And he said, Abraham said this, God shall provide himself a lamb. That's that promise. See, you and I, we get to enjoy the privileges of the promises of God. But we enjoy those promises by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And we know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. James said, show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show you that my faith by my works. It's not of works, it's by faith. And understand this, you cannot have faith in the Word of God and reject the Word of God. If you reject the Word of God, then you don't have faith in the Word of God. And there's a lot running around today. I'm just going to be honest with you. Our churches are full of those that claim that they are of the promise, but they are not of the promise. Why? Because of where their faith has been placed. It's a sad day. There's going to be a sad day when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. But Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works? Lord, have we not done this? He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. There's two lines. And God's sovereign. But understand this, in this day and age we live in as children of promise, God's promise is this, it's not God's will that any man should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, you give us to share the Word of God tonight.